So El Paso's had just one murder in the first 6 months of this year. That's not just remarkably low in comparison to what's going on across the border from you in Juarez, but it's also remarkably low for any big city in America. Why is there such a low murder rate in El Paso?
Well, you know, depending on who you talk to, you're going to get a lot of different responses about that, because I don't think anybody really knows the reason or reasons for that, and I suspect, too, that it involves many different factors. When you look at crime in general, there is typically issues of age range, for instance. I think it's between 15 and 25 are your typical high crime age-prone years. And you look at your population for that, you know, how many people you have in that age range. And El Paso, because I think, even though we do have a lot of people in that age range, we haven't seen an explosion of people in that age range. And additionally, when you talk about people from 18 and above, when you talk about that age range of potential crime-prone age years, because we're a large military community, a lot of people that age are actually overseas, involved in fighting a war right now in Iraq and Afghanistan, so they're kind of tied up doing other things. So other factors are, in El Paso, you have a large number of law enforcement agencies because we are a border community. And I think we're very lucky in that respect. We have all kinds of federal agencies, state, county, local. We work very well together. We communicate very well together. And I think there's a recognition that that we have to work together, and so we communicate well and implement that along with the relationship we have with our community that we serve. And so I think that has a lot to do with it. And then another reason, I think, is that we have this issue of the ability of people who are going to commit major crimes to do it in a foreign country. I mean, you know, we know, and we've had instances, the last one that actually you could, you know, wrap your hand around was the one in Horizon where the guy was kidnapped and then murdered in Mexico. You know, I think that we have had instances like that where people might have been connected to the cartel and kidnapped, but we would never know it because they commute back and forth between these two cities and they happen to disappear and then they get found over in Juarez and nobody knows really what happened to them other than the fact that they're dead in a foreign country.
For you, how has the job of sheriff changed as the violence in Mexico has escalated?
I think a couple things have changed. One is we don't have the working relationships that we used to have with our Mexican counterparts. When I was the chief of police, you know, I would, from time to time, go to Juarez on duty with certain of my staff members and attend certain events over there with the chief of Juarez and other state officials. I mean, I even got a tour of one of their video monitoring facilities that they had just installed a few years ago. I would go to DARE programs in their schools and watch the kids graduate. I mean, we had a very good working relationship and were able to share information like gang members and sexual offenders and auto thefts and things that truly affected both of our communities, and understanding that criminals don't always stop at the border. Now, of course, I wouldn't go over there at all. I mean, I think it's too dangerous. You never know who the target's going to be. So that working relationship is pretty much gone as far as the face-to-face stuff. Now it's through that communication typically occurs through the federal level. And the second thing that's changed, I think, is we are now much more cognizant of what's going on over there. I get at least one briefing a day from a deputy that I have assigned to EPIC to let me know what's going on, and sometimes more than one. It just depends on what's going on. like when that bombing was happening, I think I got 3 or 4 updates on that. And we have to know now. We have to know what's happening because we have to understand who's involved, who's the victim, who's the attacker. Is there any connection here to El Paso, and what should we be looking for? Because we try to stay one step ahead, especially in regards to preventing incidents from occurring over here in our jurisdiction.
People, particularly politicians, talk a lot about spillover violence on the border. What do you consider spillover? Is that something that's happening now? Has it always happened? Or is it happening more now?
Spillover is kind of a difficult word to define in the context that they're using it along the border here. Because the way I envision it is that it's always happened. You know, we've always had to deal with issues from Mexico. The drug smuggling, that's been going on since I got into law enforcement in 1982. We were dealing with drug smuggling through the El Paso corridor. Well, now, it wasn't as bad as it is today, but certainly it was there. Human trafficking, I think that's a spillover, and we've had to deal with that ever since I can recall, where smugglers are transporting people over here. Sometimes they're, you know, kept into forced labor and things of that nature. We've had underage kids from Mexico working in sexually oriented businesses that are being held against their will. I mean, you know, that's a spillover to me. And then we've had issues relating to illegal immigrants themselves who become victims of specific state offenses, like they're robbed, they're raped. We've even had homicides where they've been killed, and we have to deal with that. And I think that's spillover. But a lot of, I guess a lot of, since it's being used more and more to talk about the violence that's occurring over there now, you know, we've still always had it to some degree. I also suspect, as I mentioned previously, that because it's much easier for them to commit their crimes in Juarez and get away with it, that there are many times where people are actually kidnapped, transported across there, and I'm talking about people related to the drug trade. And they're kidnapped, taken back across the bridge, and they end up dead. And people really can't say where it all began, because these are individuals who typically travel between the two countries, and you don't know. I mean, did they leave their house in the morning and drive to Juarez and then get kidnapped and murdered, or did they get kidnapped out of their home? No one was around to witness it. They were transported across the bridge and killed. You know, who knows? So my response about the spillover is we've always had it to one degree or another. We've always had to deal with issues that are coming across the border to one degree or another. But we certainly have not had a spillover of the level of violence that's occurring over there.
So the National Guard is scheduled to arrive here in Texas in a couple of weeks. Do you think that their presence is needed?
I don't know all the information that the president's getting that would necessitate hiring more Border Patrol agents, more customs people, and putting additional troops on the border, National Guard troops. Because while they typically are engaged in activities that are intelligence gathering and more of a support role, I'm not sure what they would do here and what assistance they would provide. You know, I certainly wouldn't turn it down. I mean, you know, if the president wants to send National Guard troops out here to assist us in gathering information, supporting our ability to keep our community safe, well, you know, that's fine. I just wonder, though, if the resources aren't misdirected. It seems to me that when you look at El Paso and how safe we are, and you'd mentioned yourself, you know, we've only had one homicide this year so far, and I'm going to knock on wood, Brandy, because I don't want any more. Let's make it through the year with just one. That would be a tremendous thing, actually. But the things that we have to deal with day to day, and keeping in mind that El Paso is a relatively poor community, are many times related to the border, and we're having to pull our officers out of the field to address those issues, and the burden falls solely on the backs of local taxpayers. Because we're here on the border, we're helping out the federal government, and you know, they do throw grant money at us every once in a while, but that grant money is for specific things, and it runs out, and there's no long-term vision to how these problems should be addressed. And what I would like to see from the federal government, instead of throwing troops, throwing more Border Patrol, throwing more immigration, throwing us grant money, is come up with some solutions to the problems we're having and help address that through proper funding and see it through to a conclusion. I have no idea where those troops are going. But if some of them came here to El Paso, I'm not sure what the net effect would be. It might make people feel safer, and I'm good with that. I'm okay with that because, you know, the feeling of safety is important in our citizens' lives. I'm good with that, but I'm just not sure what the long-term benefit would be.
So I want to change topics just a little bit to immigration. A couple of Texas lawmakers have promised to file immigration legislation similar to that controversial measure that they passed in Arizona earlier this year. What do you think would be the practical effect of a law like that in a city like El Paso?
I don't think it has one. And I'm not even convinced that the one in Arizona has a practical effect. I think it was done more to draw attention to the frustrations that the citizens in Arizona felt regarding the federal government's failure to properly secure the border. I believe that that's what the Arizona law kind of does. It just kind of reiterates what their authority has always been. The law in Arizona was mainly a message that kind of caused a stir, and it worked well, actually. I mean, it really caused a lot of much-needed debate on this issue, and hopefully we'll see some movement at the federal level.